Good morning, and welcome. It's a beautiful day. Glad you're here early to join us in our time for hymn sing. And welcome to everybody joining us on Zoom as well. Our first request has been made. We will start with number 348, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, number 348, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 4. Verses 1 and 4. Request? Okay, I heard 462. Tis So Sweet. Can we do verses 1 and 2? Okay, 462. Another request. 389. Freely, Freely, number 389, and there's two verses, so we'll sing first and second.
Freely,
Did I hear 277? Tell me the stories of Jesus, 277, and in verses 1 and 3, okay? Verses 1 and 3 of 277. Thank you, everyone. We will now continue with our service. Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Welcome, everyone, and I wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. Thank you for joining us here at the First United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. Glad to have you here on a beautiful, warm day. We have some warm weather ahead of us, it looks like. We would like to ask everyone to please sign the pew pads, the little red booklets that you'll see at the end of each pew to help us record our attendance here, and please include any information there that you'd like to share with the church office and the pastor. Special welcome to our visitors, and of course, if it's the first time you're here, welcome, welcome, and we'd like to encourage everyone to please join us across the breezeway in the fellowship hall after service for some coffee and snacks and fellowship. There's also prayer cards in the pew in front of you in the with the hymnals and Bibles. If you would like to fill out a prayer request, please do so, and you can drop it in the offering plate at the back of the church. I will start with our happy birthday slide, as you can see there, and a happy, happy birthday to all of our May birthday folks, April and Everett, William, Gary, and Susan. Happy birthday. The newsletter is available in the narthex. You can also contact the office if you would prefer to have it emailed to you or mailed. Please make sure you check those out. There's wonderful information about what's happening here at the church. And a reminder, we are still the cereal church, so please donate boxes of cereal if you can. You can bring them anytime. It doesn't just have to be one Sunday. You can see there's some collected there. And then if you're like me and forget to buy cereal or forget to bring it, you can also buy scrip and donate that to the food pantry too as well. All right, and Pastor's next lunch is going to be this Wednesday, May 17th at noon, $15 per person. Please contact the church office to make sure that you get signed up. I think there's probably a sign-up sheet across the way in the fellowship hall as well. And our Hearts Grow program, second and fourth Sundays, children are welcome to come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. And this will be held in the children's church room. And our last announcement, Chosen will not be shown today, but they will resume showing that next Sunday with potluck salads and bread to celebrate the mothers that can come next week. I think I read that right. Yeah. And there any other announcements? Then please join in the call to worship, standing as you are able. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. My choice is you, God, first and only, and now I find I'm your choice. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. Thank you. Please join in our first hymn. It's in the insert or on the screens. I will sing of my Redeemer.
From the curse to set me free. triumphant herald how the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Amen.
And before you sit down, please pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor by waving and saying hello and welcome people here. Welcome everyone.
All right, you know what, you can see Helen in there sitting comfortably up in Chico. So welcome, Helen, welcome, so good to see you. We have June and Joyce worshiping with us, and Alicia, and George. I don't know, where are you, George? Are you in here or are you in Hawaii? But welcome, George, and happy Mother's Day. We still remember Vivian. And I know there's a one on phone line, and I think that's Barbara. Welcome, and happy Mother's Day to you too. I know. Isn't that exciting?
Joys and concerns?
Please raise your hand if you have a joy or concern to share, and when Deb's finished in the congregation, she'll check with the folks on Zoom.
We have some neighbors that we've been praying for. I think they've been on the list, but we got a message yesterday that her husband has 2 weeks to 2 months. So he's not doing well. So pray for blessings for them and comfort for them.
The Ferries?
Yes, the Ferries, David and Linda Ferry.
Thank you.
David and Linda Ferry.
Hi, this is Mark Pertell. I just asked for prayers for my friend Scott. He's having some tough times right now, so he could use your prayers. That's Scott. Thank you.
And so great to see Lois and Gail today. And Susan's friend Margaret is still with us visiting. Welcome.
I do a lot of walking in my community, and I met a guy Friday that looked really, really bad. He's always been friendly, but today, that day, he looked downtrodden. And I asked him, what's going on? And he said, my wife left me after 56 and a half years of marriage. His name is Pedro.
Hello, I just want to let you guys know that my mom's mom, so my grandma, passed away this Tuesday, but she went peacefully, and that's a blessing, and now she's up with God, so we would appreciate your prayers and continued prayers and for everybody. Thank you.
Just want to give an update on my dad, who's still in the hospital in a little town called Aurora, Missouri, and we're looking at possibly placing him in a nursing home now. His care has become much greater now than the family can do. And also my sister-in-law, who is now in the Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, this week they're going to be doing a surgery. It's an extensive surgery to take out two tumors that she has in her abdomen that has attached itself to her intestines, and that's why she was bleeding so much, is from those tumors. So that's going to happen this week. We don't know which day, but they're trying to build up her strength so she can have that surgery, which she has to have. Yeah. So thank you for your prayers.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand.
Thank you, everyone. And now it's time for our unison prayer. If you would please join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, it is your desire for all to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. You gave the Great Commission to preach the message of salvation to everyone, everywhere, at every age. As your disciples, we recommit ourselves to share the good news every chance we are given. Our prayers are for those who still do not know you, especially those we hold dearly in our life circle. Please touch and soften their hearts to open to your love and to reconcile with you. Lead them into your truth and set them free from the bondage of sin and death. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Many heavy prayer requests has come before us, and we often face challenges of life like this, and we know that the only place that we can go at this time is our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. So let us take all our prayers to Him in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessing. Especially we thank you today for the blessing we all have received from our wonderful sacrificial mothers. Because of them, O Lord, because you gave them to us, we learn to love one another. We learn about your love for us. We have been sustained because of the love of our mothers. And without them, O Lord, our life would not be the same as we see today. So we thank you for this gift of love that we all have received from our mothers. And we ask your blessing upon them if they are still living, that they may continue on with the good health and strength, that they may continue to be the source of strength for all of us. And for all those mothers who have gone before us, we ask you to comfort us. We ask you to strengthen us so that we may carry the legacy that our mothers have left for us to follow. So we thank you for this gift of love. And as we remember the love of our mothers, we remember that great love you have bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. And we come to you, O Lord, even though we sometimes feel unworthy to receive your love. we have not lived and met the expectation that you have for us. But still, O Lord, because of your forgiving grace, because of your sacrificial love, we have the courage to come to you and ask for more. And with you and with your love in our life, we can continue on, and our life will be sustained. So we thank you for this great love of Christ that we all have received. And our celebration continues, O Lord, because of the love of our mothers and because of your love in our life. And we ask you to give us this assurance of your love today, that we may receive strength and encouragement from you, that we may find strength to continue on. We acknowledge that you are in our life. You have come into our lives and you have filled our lives with your presence and with your love and with your blessing. And we recognize once more, Lord, that you are our sovereign God who has absolute control over our life's affair, to which we yield. So, Lord, we give you ourselves, our service, our love, our commitment to you, and ask you to continue to use us, whatever the way that you please, to bring glory unto you, O Lord. So as your people, we recommit ourselves to you and to your ministry and pray that you use us to build your kingdom on this earth. So now as the community of faith, we now join the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
It's now time for our Young at Heart moment.
Our story today comes from The Good Samaritan and Other Parables, written by Tomi De Paola. When Jesus of Nazareth taught his disciples, he often spoke to them in simple stories called parables. The net. The kingdom of heaven is like a large net that is cast in the sea, where it gathers all kinds of fish. When it is full, the fishermen pull it ashore and sort the fish. The good fish they put in baskets to take away, but the bad fish they throw away. So it will be at the end of time. Angels will come and take away the good souls, but the evil ones will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where they will weep and gnash their teeth. The sower. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground, where there was very little soil. It sprouted quickly, but when the sun came out, it withered for lack of moisture. And some of the seed fell among thistles, and the thistles grew up and choked it. But some of the seed fell on good ground, where it grew and bore fruit 100-fold. The weeds and the wheat. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed his fields with good seed. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds in with the wheat and then ran away. When the wheat began to sprout and grow, the weeds could be seen growing among it. The man's servants went to him and said, "Sir, was it not good seed that you sowed in your field? Where have all the weeds come from?" "My enemy has done this," replied the man. "Well," the servant said, "shall we go out and gather up the weeds?" "No," the man answered, "if you do that, you might pull up the wheat too. Let the wheat and the weeds grow together until harvest time. I will order the reapers to gather the weeds first, tie them into bundles, and burn them. Then I will tell them to gather the wheat into my barn." These parables tell us that it is up to us to be faithful and spread the good news of Jesus, and it is up to the Holy Spirit to make it fruitful and make it grow. All we need to do is do our part, not worry about the results. That's up to God. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. And now it's time for our hymn, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and we'll sing verses 1 through 3, and it's number 170. Now time for our scripture lesson, and today's lesson comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. "From Mount Or they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live.' So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all, and happy Mother's Day. And pray that the worshiping with us will be a time of blessing, remembering all the wonderful love of our mothers. And looks like many of us are away to celebrate the Mother's Day with their children, and I pray that they will have a wonderful time together today. Fred is 32 years old, and he's still single. One day, a friend asked, "Why aren't you married? Can't you find the woman who will be a good wife?" Fred replied, "Actually, I have found many women I wanted to marry, but when I bring them home to meet my parents, my mother doesn't like them." His friend thinks for a moment and says, "I've got the perfect solution. Just find the girl who's just like your mother." A few months later, they meet again. His friend says, "Did you find the perfect girl? Did your mother like her?" With a frown on his face, Fred answers, "Yes, I found the perfect girl. She was just like my mother. You're right. My mother liked her very much." The friend said, "Then what's the problem?" Fred replied, "My father doesn't like her." Well, you cannot satisfy everybody. Mothers are the greatest gift from God to humanity. Let me read to you a heartwarming poem written by Howard Johnson. "M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me." Johnson also wrote a poem, "Island must be a heaven, for my mother came from there." Revered motherhood is so profound, but is so plainly exhibited in everyone's life. So, the love of God is. God made his love and his way of salvation so plain for everyone to understand. Let's look at the Word of God this morning, which illustrate this truth. Israel was so thrilled to observe God's mighty hand in subduing Pharaoh. What an awesome experience it was when God parted the Red Sea and they walked on the seabed and onto the vast Sinai desert. But the joy of deliverance was short-lived as they were confronted with harsh desert conditions and were discouraged. They quickly forgot the mighty deliverance of God and complained about the lack of basic sustenance. God sent venomous snake as punishment, and the people became contrite for their wrongs. God provided a remedy with a bronze snake placed on top of a pole so that anyone bitten by the deadly snake could look at the bronze snake and live. It was one of many Old Testament events directly related to the foreshadowing of the coming Messiah. This messianic event speaks of the practical side of Messiah's redemptive work. How can we correlate the bronze snake to Jesus? Jesus answered in his conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked about how one could be born again. Nicodemus knew of the natural birth of mothers, but not the spiritual birth. Jesus quoted the Messianic event to explain spiritual regeneration. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." So let's go into detailed comparisons between the bronze snake and Jesus' redemption. A snake has a very negative image in biblical terms. At the time of creation, the snake represented Satan, which tempted the human ancestors to violate God's law. Revelation 20 identifies the ancient serpent as Satan as well. Here in the book of Numbers, the venomous snake represents agents of God's punishment. Now, there seems to be a sudden jump from this negative portrayal of a snake to the bronze snake as God's remedy to cure the snake bite because of the sin of Israel. Was the bronze snake different from the negative image of a typical snake? We expect all snakes, whether regular or bronze snake, to share the same negativity. And if you have noticed in the Bible text this morning, God told Moses to cure them, right? God said, to make a poisonous snake. It was the bronze snake was the duplicate of the poisonous snake. So bronze snake was not something really, really positive. It was a poisonous snake. If you look at it closely, the negativity associated with snakes did not change. God intended the bronze snake to be a reminder of people's sins. So when they look at it, they may repent their sins. In actuality, the bronze snake did not possess any healing power, but mirrored the source of all evil and their sin and made the people ashamed. Those who believe that the bronze snake had such power ended up worshiping it instead of worshiping God. In the 1960s, archaeologists found a 5-inch long copper snake in a tent shrine at Timna dating between 1200 and 900 BC. Moses was from the 13th and 12th centuries BC, so that finding proves the worship of the bronze snake continued after Moses' time. 2 Kings 18 says, people had been burning incense to the bronze snake called Nehushtan. Nehushtan, that's a snake. And then also it's similar to the Hebrew word copper. Until the time of King Hezekiah in the late 8th and early 7th century BC. Hezekiah, in his attempt to reformation, he removed idols and broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses made. The cross of Jesus could serve as the bronze snake, a compelling reminder of sins that leads people to repentance. We have beautified the cross so much that we see nothing negative. But what was the cross used for initially? It was a cruel method of capital punishment for serious crimes, a symbol of sin and shame as the bronze snake was. We all have sinned against God and are supposed to be nailed on the cross and suffer the consequences of our sins. The cross of Jesus mirrors our sins as well. When we look at the cross, we see our sins and repent and receive the eternal life. As the Israelites looked at the bronze snake and did not die. Another commonality between the bronze snake and the cross is that they were lifted high. The bronze snake was placed on top of the pole so that anyone near and far whom the snake bit could look at it and be saved. The crucifixion was an extensive, effective public execution used by ancient Rome to showcase the horrifying consequences of violating its law. They crucified the criminals on top so that everyone could see. The Roman Empire was the center and superpower of the world in every aspect then. And God used the Roman crucifixion to display his love for all humanity in plain view so that everyone could look at the cross of Jesus for salvation. God made his plan of salvation so plain for everybody to see and understand. So God's love for us is no secret. God publicly demonstrated his love for us through Jesus' suffering and death. And of course, God's ways are higher than ours, and we may not always discern God's operation. But God's plan of salvation was publicly declared through the cross of Jesus. And God wants the entire world to come to the saving knowledge of his love by looking at the cross and by repenting their sins. Jesus said this in John 12, "As for me, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people myself." And that was Jesus' intention and God's intention. Being lifted up has comprehensive meanings. It means the kind of death Jesus was to suffer from. Being lifted high also implies Jesus' exalted resurrection and his ascension into heaven. The bronze snake could only heal Israelites from the deadly bites of a snake in the wilderness, but the cross of Jesus heals anyone under the power of Satan here on earth and take them to heaven for eternal life. Life often resembles the Sinai Desert, and we all suffer from its harsh conditions and constantly labor hard for survival. How do we survive this life? The Word of God says, all we have to do is to look at the cross. Then we shall live. This is the way of salvation. Look at the cross and live. God, through Jesus, did everything for our salvation. The only thing we have to do is to look at the cross. In World Vision, writer Tony Campolo tells of taking an airplane from California to Philadelphia one stormy night. It was late, but when the man in the next seat learned that Campolo was a Christian, he wanted to talk. "I believe that going to heaven is like going to Philadelphia," the man said. "You get there by airplanes, by train, by bus, by automobile. There are many ways to get to Philadelphia," Campolo writes. "As we started descending into Philadelphia, the place was fogged in. The wind was blowing. The rain was beating on the plane, and everyone looked nervous and tight. As we were circling in the fog, I turned to the theological expert on my right. 'I'm certainly glad the pilot doesn't agree with your theology,' I said. 'What do you mean?' he asked. 'The people in the control booths are giving instructions to the pilot. Coming north by northwest, 3 degrees. You are on beam. You are on beam. Don't deviate from beam.' I'm glad the pilot's not saying, 'There are many ways into the airport. There are many approaches we can take.' I'm glad he's saying, there is only way we can land this plane, and I'm going to stay with it. There is only one way to God, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Are we troubled, discouraged, because life has become harsh? Our situation may look so complicated and difficult to deal with, but a breakthrough solution is available. And actually, there's the only one breakthrough to all the problems we have, and that is to look at the cross of Jesus. Then we will be delivered from whatever challenges this life brings. Amen.
It's now time for our offering, and we thank you for continuing to support our work at the church. You can leave your offering in the offering plate at the back, or you can drop it off or send it into the office.
Gracious Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for this wonderful life we've been given through our mothers and through your love. So we acknowledge those countless blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and we bless you and give you thanksgiving as we offer this small token of our praise and thanksgiving unto you. We ask you to receive this offering from us and bless it, that it may be used to do your ministry through this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join in our closing hymn, number 347, Spirit Song.
Thank you.
The wonderful story of your cross. Thank you for this wonderful reminder of the wonderful love that we all have received from our mothers. So, Lord, we ask you send us forth back to our realities with this message of love, that we may go and share the love that we have received from you and from our mothers, that people may know that you are there for them and with them. We ask you to send us forth with your blessing and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Strong and true.